Hello again. Meet Large. Large Booty Man. Now, Large here has survived 10 years of the zombie apocalypse. Well, it's either that or he's just hatched from an egg in this wardrobe here. What on earth am I on about? Well, I've been wanting to tell a zomboid story on the channel for some time now, but all of my attempts so far have ended both quickly and unceremoniously. So I did some other things first. This time I've installed a healthy set of mods including Britta's weapon and armor packs, most of the AutoZar vehicle bits, as well as various other little bits and bobs. The full list is in the description below, but the one that's currently rather standing out is 10 years later, which gives the world an overgrown appearance, especially when paired with worn out zombies. There are some supporting mods for 10 years later, like 10 years later professions, which allows us to make Large here a hardened survivor. The world's sandbox settings have also been tweaked to reflect the setting a bit better. The electricity and water are shut off and there's no perishable food left. To offset this, the zombie population is also a little bit lower than usual and Large gains skills at twice the normal rate. It's also worth mentioning that nothing respawns. Neither zombies or loot magically reappear. Though the way zombies migrate in this game often makes it appear like they're still infinite anyway. If you want, we can pretend that I'm playing this because it's been over 10 years since the original Zomboid tech demo was released. It's not, I didn't know that until now, but they don't need to know that, do they? So anyway, while we've been talking, Large has been looting. He's evidently just arrived in Muldraw on foot since we find ourselves going house to house at the very edge of town. On our first day in town here, we bashed in some skulls and got ourselves all dressed up in the bloodied second-hand clothing of the local zombies. We spotted a nice hiking backpack, stuffed it full of canned food, scoped out some bits that would be important later, and then got cozy in this little cabin here. This seems like it would be a nice little spot to turn into a safe house, but for now, it's
time for bed.
Okay, maybe it wasn't quite time for bed because now it's 3 a.m, but instead of doing something sensible like reading a skill book, we're going to go out and keep on scavenging. Which sounds nicer than saying looting, doesn't it? One particularly kind zombie donated some military apparel to Large's cause in the form of a bulletproof vest and some very tactical camo clothing. Thankfully, most bulletproof materials are also proof against teeth. By this point, I've found a couple of cars and vans that are in pretty usable condition. However, it's extremely rare to find a car with a working battery and/or any remaining fuel this far into the apocalypse. If we wanted to get technical about it, then we'd probably have to not use vehicles or generators at all, since the shelf life of your average vehicle fuel is really not that long. But we probably don't want to do that because it wouldn't be very fun, would it? Regardless, I don't have any fuel, or a working car battery for that matter, but it's something to keep in mind and look out for on future travels. The next day consisted of finding a bigger bag, a couple of empty gas cans to use later, some fly drip, and these two very hungry and well-coordinated fellows. Now's probably a good time to mention that I did also change the zombie virus's transmission method to saliva only for this game. So the nasty laceration I just picked up on my hand in this cock-up is just a pain, not a potential death sentence. It may now be obvious why I've had so many failed zomboid runs. I do have a tendency to rush about a bit. It's simply my nature to boldly run at situations blind and then deal with the consequences afterwards. So I think for now we'd best stop looting and fighting and do some lightweight organising instead. In Zomboid I tend to have specific containers for food, books, tools, weapons, electronics, and then have separate areas set up for first aid stuff and tailoring supplies. Inevitably this descends into chaos and I just throw stuff on the floor within a few days. But for a brief shining moment, all is pure and all is organised. You can, thankfully, remove all of this green stuff from buildings and floors in 10 years later, so let's do that a bit now. Hey, what's this under here? Oh, wow, it's a subscribe button. I bet if you had a look, you'd find one just like it right below the video. Go check it out. After that bit of gardening, it's time for a little bit of tailoring. Most of the clothes I'm wearing came from dead people that have allegedly been shambling around in them for a decade or so. They're not in great shape. I patched up all the holes in everything I could with a mix of leather, denim, and regular old cloth before getting down to a good old crossword puzzle to ease the mind pain before bed. I also read about foraging because that's what I plan to do a bit of today. Large has the herbalist trait, so it's safe to scrounge around in the mud for food. The grand haul was a wild leek, a handful of mushrooms, two worms, a millipede, and an oven mitt, which isn't food. After the morning's forages, I broke into this fortified house, which realistically should be where I fortify and call home, but it just doesn't have the same coziness factor as the shack, does it? What it does have is a lot of sharp things. Particularly useful to me are the axes, which I can use later to deforest the area around me and provide the logs required for my various constructions. The house also held a sledgehammer, which can be used to raid various high-value areas, like police stations or storage lockups. But we'll get to that later. First things first, Large is a smoker and the mind pain from not having any ciggies is really starting to get to him. I know that there's a bar on the main road next to a large warehouse, so I head that way. On the way there, whilst engaging in some more ill-advised night combat, I took down a zombie in some kind of Second World War German getup, including a Stahlhelm and an incredibly high-capacity backpack. Anyway, it's starting to brighten up a bit now and we're closing in on that bar. I'm hoping to find some cigarettes and a lighter here, but I mean, it seems like the right sort of place, but no, not today. I did get some booze though, which offers another kind of reprieve from the terrors. A beer before bed will sort out even the deepest reaches of depression in Zomboid. If only it was so simple. On the way out, I spotted this nice fellow in a ghillie suit and decided I wanted it, so I took it from him. It doesn't serve any purpose other than to look cool. It would be nice to have an effective camouflage system in Zomboid. But for now, it's just fashion. In the boot of a car parked outside the bar, I found a full working car battery, which gets me halfway to driving around. I just need some fuel now. I mentioned that the bar was next to a large warehouse as well, so after picking through every car and zombie between the two buildings, I started poking about. I actually once made a home of this building in a Zomboid game, so it's full of good memories for me. It's also full of tools. Millions of nails and hammers, duct tape aplenty, and rather interestingly, some solar panel parts and the book on how to use them. It'll be a long time before I can make use of those panels, since you need a few levels in electronics, which is absolutely awful to grind up initially. But still, it's nice to know they're there. I'll transport them once I have a working vehicle. Something much more immediately useful are all the seeds and gardening tools. The sooner you plant crops, the better, but despite it being the middle of the day, I'm very tired. It's time for a beer nap on the sofa here before heading over to the storage units across the road. Whilst clearing this place, I found this battery bank put together in one of the units alongside some more solar panels. That's cool, but again, it's something to think about much later. All the smashing of walls obviously attracted some attention, and in the process of clearing them, I managed to once again put myself in a bad situation. The vegetation everywhere does rather affect my brain's ability to track zombies, meaning I forgot that this one existed and went straight ahead on looting Luigi here. Anyway, 'tis but a scratch. Literally. So let's go home. Once home safe and sound, we'll spend a solid 6 hours reading about farming, then go to sleep so that we can read more about farming in the morning before actually getting some seeds in the ground. Perhaps I should have planted first and then read, since you get your farming experience on harvesting crops, not planting them, but it doesn't make a huge difference. I love few things more than homesteading in video games. I'd probably like it quite a lot in real life too, but it's hard to do when you live in a small flat with no outdoor space, so for now, this is my homestead. And it needs a wall. So I need to put those axes to good use with some good old-fashioned lumberjacking. I then realised, however, that I need carpentry level 2 in order to actually make walls. I guess it's been a long time since I started with zero carpentry in Zomboid. So before I can homestead, I'll have to destroy some other people's homes. Board by board and nail by nail, I'll dismantle anything made of wood inside the surrounding homes. Unfortunately, I never found a beginner carpentry book, meaning that this will take considerably longer than it should. As a positive though, whilst in one of the nearby houses, I realised I left behind this nice radio with a CD player, which is just another way to help keep the voices quiet. I do have the intermediate book for carpentry though, so once I reach level 2, I can get through that before starting on a wall. Just casually sitting on the ground in the pitch darkness reading about carpentry. The usual Zomboid stuff. Shortly after getting into the wall building, this happened, which was unsettling. My average day contained zero zombie bunnies, so this was rather unpleasant. And while it's tempting, no, Large does not intend to wear the bunny costume. After building a few more frames, I realized that since it's raining, I'd best get more seeds into the ground. I don't actually have a renewable water source yet, so it would be smart to make use of the fact that it's currently falling from the sky. Alright, back to lumberjacking, which is very good at ruining axes. Thankfully though, it at least also trains maintenance, which is quite handy. I have no idea whether or not your axe skill also influences the chance to lose durability when cutting wood like it would when cutting zombies. If you know, let me know. I'm curious. It very briefly stopped raining and then immediately started up again, so I decided to make hay whilst the sun wasn't shining and plant some more seeds. At this point I've got radishes, carrots, cabbages, tomatoes and broccoli in the ground. None of those seem to me like particularly fatty vegetables, but according to the wiki, cabbages are actually surprisingly good food. It occurs to me now though that I should probably have planted potatoes too if it's carbs I'm after. I'd like to be able to get my hands on something a little bit more meaty though. But without choosing a profession that starts with trap recipes, I'm entirely reliant on finding magazines for them. And I have found one, but unfortunately it only covered traps which already require some trapping skill, which isn't enormously useful to me right now. Anyway, we're running out of important things at the base, like food, so let's go out looting again. Moving further afield this time, through the trailer park to our immediate south where I found a few cigarettes, but sadly no lighter, before heading west into the town again. I ran pretty much immediately into that one house that has a small farm in the garden with a rain collector barrel. I harvested some of their carrots and cabbages, which took me quickly up to farming level 2, meaning I'd need to read another book to get the full amount of XP that's sitting in the ground here. A fairly large gang of zombies moved in while I was harvesting anyway, so it's as good a time as any to bug out. I found some more cigarettes in another home on the way back, but it's worth pointing out that these are singular cigarettes I'm finding, not packs. I'm used to finding them in stacks of 20 quite often, but the loot scarcity has evidently made that extremely rare. Regardless, I don't have a lighter anyway. Back to carpentry, and you'll notice that I'm just putting up frames for now. It doesn't feel like there's much good reason to build those raggedy awful level 1 walls onto these frames, but rather to just wait for level 4 carpentry and build the level 2 walls onto them from the go instead. I've got so much stuff to build that I'll get there in no time anyway. And another way to get a load of experience is to head back to this warehouse and disassemble all the crates. I needed to come back here for more axes anyway, and I figured I might as well do this while I'm here. Another thing I did while I was here was to check the vehicles around the front of the building, including this trailer tank, which, as it turns out, contains a few hundred litres of gasoline. Well, that's convenient, isn't it? All I need to do is find a gas can to fill and then screw a new battery into a working car, and I'll be good to go. You will probably have noticed the slick black car sitting out front of the shed that I live in. It's in pretty good shape, so I'll be using that. With it, I can tow the gas tank back, grab this generator from the neighbor's shed, and we're good to go for electricity. Once I start harvesting crops, I'll steal a few fridges from nearby houses to keep my produce fresh. For now though, it's time to celebrate the day's successes with a beer before bed. The next morning, we're bringing back that solar equipment from the warehouse before doing yet more carpentry all day. At this point we've reached level 4 and can actually begin to make a wall rather than just a frame. While I was continuing the deforestation efforts, this guy showed up in his full-on bomb suit. And while it would be fun to run around in a bomb suit killing zombies, unfortunately it halves both your run and combat speeds. I will scavenge the visor from it though, because at this point I was just stacking anything that would fit over my body provided it didn't significantly slow me down, even if it does look a little bit silly. So it's been almost 2 weeks in-game, about 11 days so far. We've got the beginnings of a wall set up, crops growing, basically limitless electricity and fuel for vehicles, and a decent but far from ideal stock of food. What's next? Well, we need to make some water collectors, a fridge or two, and it would actually be really nice to have a source of more fattening foods. If I can't get started trapping, which I've actually never found to be particularly reliable anyway, then maybe I should be fishing. I have been squirreling away various bits of fishing kit, but I've actually not found a rod or a line yet, nor the required magazine to let me craft my own, so it'll have to be spearfishing. Anyway, first I'm going to head down to that little farm and finish harvesting it. I'd like to take the water barrel, but I forgot to bring the tools required to move it. Oops. While I was out and about, I hit up the small convenience store just down the road from here, hoping for lighters and cigarettes again, but instead I found some vitamins and painkillers, which could be pretty useful if things go bad. Since I have a load of fresh produce now, it's time to grab a fridge from the neighbour's house. Somehow I hurt myself in the process of moving this fridge around all by myself, but that's okay, it will heal fine overnight. Once again, if only it were so simple. Another method to slightly combat the mind pain is to eat interesting food, which apparently includes raw carrot and broccoli salads. It's not exactly gourmet, but I suppose that the mere act of putting food into a bowl serves to remind Large of more civilized times. I went out to do some more looting, along this line of shops on the main road, mainly hoping to find some bits I can use to make Large's diet a bit more interesting, but it would also be nice to find some useful magazines. One thing I did find was a Ruger GP100 revolver in 38 special on a zombie cop, which is convenient since I have a whole ammo crate of boxes of this caliber back at base. That being said, I can't see myself shooting much with a revolver anytime soon. Typically, you train shooting in Zomboid with a whole load of shotgun shells. I should probably think about raiding the police station for a decent shotgun and some shells at some point. It's always very nice to go far from home and just start blasting every once in a while. The only other thing of real note I picked up on this run was a microwave. There are plenty of these closer to home, but I'm here and I have a car to stick it in, so it makes no difference. I got it home and figured I'd use it to purify some water for a nice soup. I took my largest metal pot that had been sitting outside in the rain, stuck it in the microwave and turned it on. Now, I know that you shouldn't put metal in a microwave, but I was sort of banking on Zomboid ignoring that fact for some reason. It does not ignore that fact. Mercifully, for some reason, the small fire didn't spread. However, I would need a new microwave. That aside, I still want a soup. So I got another pot, filled it with water, and stuck it in the oven to boil this time. To be honest, I don't know much about the food system in Zomboid, but when I made this soup, apparently I used too much broccoli, because it was very depressing to consume. Okay, now it's time to look into fishing. The nearest body of water is this little pond here, out in the woods. For some reason, I figured I would drive there, and once I got out onto the main road, I realized that it would make far more sense to just walk instead. So while I was out, I decided to just go for a nice long drive along the highway, just in case there was anything really nice out there. Predictably, there wasn't anything nice out there. Anyway, after wasting all that time, I did actually go fishing for an entire day, catching a couple of fish, including this massive pike. It's not an enormous amount of food, but it will certainly add to the veggies in a nice way. And after a quick stir-fry, it's time for Large's first harvest, because some of the cabbages are ready. Even though it was only a few tiles, with the carrots and broccoli that are already in the fridge, it's now completely full. I should have realized this would be more of a problem. I once occupied an apartment building in Louisville and made a small farm on the roof, which managed to very quickly fill 6 fridges with veg. It's simple enough to go and get another fridge, but of course it does mean that you're using more fuel in the generator. So it would be quite a good idea to train electrical and start rigging up the solar panels to run this stuff. First though, let's finish the wall and section off a little vehicle bay from the main area. I could essentially build a whole building here if I wanted, but for now this will do. It's cozy as hell. I had the idea to take my car and try and draw some zombies away from the area that I want to loot next, which is mainly the book and VHS stores. I've never really been sure if this kind of tactic works in Zomboid. I'm just slowly backing away down the highway, making plenty of noise, and then looping backwards towards town and repeating that again. Then once I'm leaving, I try to ensure that I head back into town via a longer, circuitous route so they don't all just follow me straight back. But the density of zombies doesn't really ever seem to have significantly changed, so who can say? While I was on that side of town, I hit the local tavern, figuring I might grab some more booze and cigs. And look at that, I finally got a lighter. It's not enormously useful given how few cigarettes still exist, but there you go. A random truck parked outside had a gun case in it that I opened when I got home to find a Marlin 1894 repeating rifle chambered in, you guessed it, 38 Special. Just like all the guns in Muldraw, apparently. Alright, let's skip forward a little bit, because for the next 2 days or so I just fished and dismantled electronics and nothing particularly interesting happened. You join Large again a couple of days later as he makes his way house to house in search of more TVs to dismantle, when he stumbles across this little Pazuzu truck in perfect condition. It even has fuel and a working battery. And the cherry on top, the keys in the ignition. This is a really great find. The trunk of the car I've been using is tiny, and I hate storing loads of stuff in the seats since it can stop you from getting into the vehicle in a hurry. This little truck will open up a world of looting possibilities to Large. Back at base, some carrots and radishes are ready for harvest, but I need to leave them a little longer so that I can get some seeds rather than just food. But I harvested about half of them now just to expand my already grotesquely large vegetable stocks. Speaking of Large, at this point he's actually beginning to gain weight again. He started at 60 kilograms and has been as low as 55 in the pre-fishing era of his journey. Again, it would be really nice to try and integrate some trapping into the homestead here to keep up the gains, but we'll just have to take what we can get. The next move for Large is to grab that sledgehammer and hit the police station for its guns and ammo now that we've got the Pazuzu to carry it all in. It's a simple enough plan, so let's just get straight to it. There's a few small clusters of zombies hanging around, drawn in by the truck, so first off they need dealing with. Once that's done, we slip in through the back, break into the jail cell to shut up its lonely undead occupant, and then make our way into the equipment room. And oh boy, that's a lot of gun fuel. And a lot of guns, for that matter. For the moment, I'm largely interested in 12-gauge, since when it comes to mass de-zombieing, shotguns are king. Luckily for me then, there's a Remington 870 in the locker here, and a grand total of 775 shells in boxes on the surrounding shelves. There are also three 5.56 rifles of varying designs and a Savage 308 Winchester hunting rifle. Unfortunately though, while I did get a few 30-round Stanags as well as a 60-round drum for the rifles, I only got a couple of boxes of 5.56, so I won't be making much use of those until I can find significantly more ammo. It's time to cook a fish and get a good night's sleep now, because surely you know what's coming next. Ah, that felt good, didn't it? Before that little rampage, Large had killed a total of 253 zombies, almost exclusively with spiked baseball bats. This took him up to around 500, and without actually spending that much of the 12 gauge. So finally we can rummage through the bookstore in peace, and it turns out there wasn't much of use in there. A couple of handy magazines with some vehicle-specific parts that might come in handy at some point, but none of the things I'm more immediately looking for, like hunting or fishing magazines. Oh well, there are bookshops in other towns. And I realise that it feels like we just got set up here, but maybe Muldraw is too small for a man named Large. I think maybe we ought to pack up the Pazuzu and make tracks. So please, whatever you do, don't copy Large. Just remain indoors, it simply isn't worth it. And thanks for the continued support on the channel. I'd like to quit my regular job soon and do this full time, because I'm basically already putting full time hours into this stuff, I'm just doing it alongside my actual job, which I can't recommend. As you can imagine, I'd much rather just do this instead. If you want to support me in that effort directly, then head over to my Patreon if you'd like. You don't get anything particularly special for doing so, just a role in my Discord and access to the occasional text post of little real substance. But I appreciate it. And isn't gratitude the most valuable reward anyway? In any case, thanks for watching. And until next time, goodbye.